You're listening to the Coffee Hour with Sarah
and Andy. What was that?
I don't, I was laughing so hard because you said we got a wee tweet.
A wee tweet.
And I said, is that a tweet? Is that when a little child tweets a wee tweet? Or is that when two people tweet a wee tweet?
Oh,
see, I'm bad. That's a good one. I'm full of bad puns.
It's true.
Tweet.
Dad jokes.
Where do people follow us on Twitter?
At KFUO Radio.
At KFUO Radio.
Yes.
Find us on Twitter and you can wee tweet.
We tweet all of our tweets. Man, that's so bad.
Let's go to our guest.
Yeah, there's no good segue for that one. So I'm just going to jump right into this one. We have Pastor Gerard Bowling on the phone with us, and I'm really excited about this because he and I go way back to Concordia days, back in the day.
Way back.
Capella, yeah. Too. There's some good times.
Capella, yeah. Great time.
That's a whole different program, though.
Good morning, Pastor Bowling. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about where you serve.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. And by the way, I just have to say, back to the Sarah thing, Sarah has the most beautiful voice. That's the number one thing I remember about Sarah Colson. Sitting next to her, once in Royal David City, it was everything at Concordia, Chicago. Anyway.
That is probably one of my favorite, if not all-time favorite, Christmas hymns. So.
Oh, yeah, it is in my top five. It's in my top five. Mm. I am a pastor, associate pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in North City, alongside with Pastor Schmicky, who is an amazing pastor himself. And I've been so happy and pleased to serve at Bethlehem as pastor since graduation from them in May of 2016. And so that's where I'm at, yeah.
So, and when I knew you back in the day, Were you already learning sign language at that point, or did that happen somewhere between Concordia and the seminary?
Well, it kind of happened all of the above. at Concordia, Chicago, I pretty much all but begged Deaconess Jenny to teach American Sign Language 1 and 2, and she's such a great sport. And she said, yeah, I'll do it if you can find me students. And I took it as a personal challenge, and I found a bunch of students to be able to be in American Sign Language 1 and 2. And from what I know, that program is still going on at Concordia Chicago to have students learn American Sign Language, yes, but also learn about some of the things inside of deaf ministry that are the moving pieces. And so that's where my journey started at Concordia. And then I just kept signing with the deaf community. The best way to learn a language that's still living and moving like sign language and so visual is by just being out there with the people who are speaking it. So I would go to deaf coffee shops in the shops in the Chicago area, and I'd sign with deaf people, and they'd pick on me, and they'd tell me that I'm doing this or that wrong, and it would make me better. And then I continued that journey at seminary. I kept signing there, and Pastor Moody over on the south side at Holy Cross Lutheran Church for the Deaf, he is an amazing pastor, and I learned lots of sign language doing my fieldwork experience there for 1 year as well. And then my second year of SEM is when Bethlehem approached me and said, would you be willing to help us start some kind of ministry here? They already had one woman coming who was deaf, and, you know, they were interested in growth. And so I felt like that was really the Holy Spirit tugging at me, saying, yeah, you got to keep driving down this road. So that's kind of where my journey, you know, kind of lies. So.
Well, that's a couple of things that we have in common then. And first of all, I have to say, you caught my attention when you said deaf coffee shops in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 5 years. I did not realize, of course, this was back in the dark ages. Maybe they weren't deaf coffee shops back in the dark ages, but...
Dark ages. Okay.
But deaf coffee shops, I had no idea there were deaf coffee shops in... Tell me what that was like and how that helped you learn the language. And with language comes culture, or with culture comes language. I'm not sure. They go hand in hand.
Oh, yeah. They go hand in hand and they walk together when it comes to deaf and hard of hearing people in their community. Deaf coffee shops are not a specific coffee shop. They're pop-up shops in Chicago. And so what will happen is... there's a website you can go to, meetup.com, which was great for me back then. And they tell you, hey, we have this deaf person, and then these other students that are meeting at this Starbucks, at this local place, you know, downtown, where, you know, wherever they meet. And then you go there and you're able to learn the language. And you have to learn quickly because they do not allow you to talk. The deaf people mm-hmm. who host it do not allow you to speak. And so you rely on what you already know. And so you were immersed in that culture in such a way where you had to walk or else you were going to be sitting and watching everybody else run around. And so I believe that deaf coffee shops in Chicago, and also they still have them in St. Louis in the Webster Groves area, they still have them monthly. Those are crucial to be able to learn sign language because that's how you see the culture and all the language that you've learned. That's how you see it come to life with the people that you're serving and the people that you wish to serve. And so that was really important to my development, I would say.
What, you know, bridging that gap between the hearing world and the deaf and hard of hearing world, those two worlds, those two cultures, what have you learned about deaf culture that perhaps was new to you or a surprise to you that you didn't expect about deaf culture? And how have you learned to relate to that?
There are a few things that I learned about deaf culture that really surprised me. One of them is that deaf people think of themselves as a group, and they're very, very supportive of each other. They're very, very loving toward each other and protective of one another as well. And so when you're coming into their culture and you're seeing the way that they move together and they walk together constantly, you see that there's a desire for other people to walk with them when it comes to ideas and when it comes to things. And so when you're bringing them the gospel and you're talking to them as a group, you know, you've got kind of the peanut gallery there because they're protecting each other from, you know, something that could be false or something that could be hurtful. But also the Holy Spirit uses that for them to be able to have a Q&A kind of, you know, session on, well, what does it mean to believe in this Jesus? Who is he, you know? And that is so unique to deaf culture because they will lend you their ear, you know, as long as you're willing to speak with them as a group. And they know where each other kind of are, too. Something else that's pretty shocking about deaf people, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but about 98% of them do not know who Jesus is at all whatsoever. Wow. 98%. It would be higher than that because oftentimes things like the census would say when it comes to knowing who Jesus is, they think it's, okay, you're a Christian. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses would call themselves Christians, but we know that they're not, you know, Christians because they don't believe in Christ in the same way as we do. And so when I was in St. Louis and I was meeting people and people were telling me, well, I am Christian, you know, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. That's one of the most popular churches for the deaf to go to. Then I kind of had to change sort of their minds and sort of their worldviews about that too. Another thing that's so true to deaf people are honest. They think that you look a certain way or that you're acting a certain way or you're doing something that upsets them, they will tell you, you know. And so you have to be ready for the honesty from that group. And that's simply because their language is visual and everyone sees it. And so they don't keep secrets in the same way that hearing people do. And they become vulnerable faster because of that as well. And so those are kind of things that I learned about them that surprised me, but also helped me to minister to them as well.
What have you been able to do at Bethlehem to start telling these people about Jesus and to bring this ministry to people? And who have you been able to meet?
Yeah. Well, typically a deaf ministry would be set up like an interpreter would come on a Sunday morning. They'd interpret for the hour, hour and a half, whatever it is that the service is, and then they would leave. What we wanted to do was we wanted to create an intentionally inclusive ministry with deaf people. When deaf people came and when we came to know some other deaf people, we didn't want them ever to think that they could not join things or they could not be a part of things simply because they were hearing impaired, part of hearing deaf or whatever it was. They were welcome to do that. And so in order to do that, what I did was I kind of had a heart-to-heart with the congregation, and I was like, we're going to walk together when it comes to, you know, the deaf and hard of hearing community, and we're all going to be able to communicate with them on some level so that we can do this. We have American Sign Language boot camps regularly at Bethlehem so that our hearing people are able to learn just enough sign language to be dangerous. You know how they say that? They need to be a little dangerous when they're speaking with the deaf so that they're able to sign with them, hello, how are you, things like that. And so our boot camp kind of focuses in on that, and that's taught by one of our deaf people, Montez Pruitt. We also have a weekly sign fellowship ministry, which is an opportunity for the deaf and the hearing to come together and to speak about things that are different on our cultural planes, but in a way that's not kind of a confrontational environment, you know? So we can talk about our differences, and we can move forward together, and we can move forward as family, you know, because we're the family of God, and we can study God's word, and we can talk about, you know, the things inside of it. And so we've been able to do that. I also have started a deaf Bible study that we have on Friday morning for deaf people to learn pretty much just common Bible stories and common Bible verses. One of our deaf members told me, you know, I really don't understand how the hearing people have memorized all these different verses and they can say all these different things. You know, I want to be just like that, you know. And so that's what that class is devoted to, for everybody to be able to be just like that, you know. And kind of when it comes to our other ministries, like we have an after school program at Bethlehem and we have women's ministry and men's ministry that happens, we don't deter any of our deaf people from going to any of those things. And if they'd like an interpreter for those things or those events, then we provide one for them. But we really want our hearing people to step up and make sure to include them in things. Vacation Bible School. It's a group effort. It's not just for the hearing community. And so we've been able to create that inclusive environment at Bethlehem.
That is outstanding, yeah. Bringing that word of God to all souls, whether they're hearing it or seeing it, receiving the good gifts of God in his word. Our guest today, the Reverend Gerard Bowling, associate pastor and pastor for the deaf at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in St. Louis. Pastor Bowling, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm loving my coffee. It's great.
Well, that does it for this week for the Coffee Hour. More great stuff next week.
Absolutely.
Anything exciting on your... Oh, we already talked about your weekend.
We did. Olympics.
It wasn't that exciting.
Olympics.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.